Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Raw Talk Radio with your host, Osman Shabazz.
Everybody to Raw Talk Radio. This is Osman Shabazz, and I'm going to have Yembele Gomez. She's going to be on the show. Yembele is running for the North Board of Education, and she's going to be calling in and join us at 7:15. In the interim, I have as my co-host for the first 15 to 20 minutes is Donald Jackson, and he too is very interested in the Board of Education. He was once a board member. And I'm going to bring him on so we can have a discussion about what's going on with the educational system in Newark. How's it going, Donald?
It's going pretty good. Very interesting turn of events this election season. And looking forward to working on whomever is elected and helping to move Newark Public Schools forward.
Right. Now, are you currently a board member or are you no longer a board member?
I am no longer a board member. My term ended May 2nd of 2017. Might be a few days off on the date, but yeah.
Okay. So, as a former board member, what were some of the challenges that you faced on the board, Donald?
Too many to even remember, but a couple of things that pop into my head. One, at the time, we were dealing with a very controversial superintendent, Ms. Camille Anderson, who in more than one way put Newark Public Schools in a very challenging position, and we still see those effects today. Also dealing with dwindling state aid, dealing with a increase in facility needs, increase in financial needs, dealing with a population of students who bounced back and forth between charter and public, a district who's, because of dwindling state aid, needed to operate with a functional deficit or structural deficit, for lack of a better word, with approximately $100 million. And you know, you're a very intelligent person, Usman. Your bills need to be paid, right? So
right.
The money that you get in from state aid, local tax levy, federal dollars from IDEA, Title I, grants, that creates, you know, what your revenue is. You still have to make payments, your charter school payment being one. Big payment, salary and healthcare being another, because you have to pay your employees, right? You also have to keep facilities functioning. As you know, our district has a lot of buildings that have existed since, you know, before World War I, and we're talking the early 1900s. And, you know, like most things, repairs need to be made, things need to be fixed, corrected. Some buildings needed to become being able to accommodate special need people and become better suited to serve the students. You know, that costs money. So it was very challenging to deal with the public's outcry of all the political and operational problems that occurred within the superintendent's office, and you know the notion that families felt left out. But it was also a greater stressor to deal with the issues that we knew we faced and the problems that we had, mainly money being the main issue, and trying to work around those issues to, you know, keep the doors of the school district open.
Right. So how many years were you on the board?
I served one term, and that's 3 years.
Okay.
So that was from 2014 to 2017.
Okay. Now, when you left the board in 3 years, did the financial situation
The outlook was better. And, you know, I have my problems with the previous superintendent, you know, Mr. Cerf, that was brought here after Camille Anderson, you know, exited the district. But, you know, facts, you know, we rely on facts, not emotion, right? And the fact of the matter is, Christopher Cerf was able to secure funds from the state to come into North Public Schools. I believe it was a $4 million increase the year 2016 going into 17, if I remember correctly, because
right.
We're in a 17-18 year now. So, you know, that definitely helped. That allowed
right.
the district to have some money in its reserve, but it did not solve the issue. The fact of the matter is the financial issue that North Public Schools is in occurred well over 20 years ago. You know, that's before my time. You know, that's like my parents' grandparents' time. And, you know, the not taking corrective action then really put us in bad shape now. Much like the choices we make as young adults, whether it be financially or life decisions, if we don't properly plan now, unfortunately, we will pay the price in the future. And, you know, that's what we have now. We have a district who's, you know, in financial disrepair, even though the outlook might have been better. You know, to my understanding, state aid was not cut last school year, the 2017-2018, what we are now. I'm not too sure what the outlook is going to be now. Unfortunately, I haven't followed too closely, but budget season is now, and I'm going to definitely be paying attention because, you know, Governor Murphy promised some things, and, you know, he has to fulfill
right.
his promises. The problem is going to be, and the question is going to be, is the state going to be able to fulfill those obligations? Because there's not a, it's not a secret. The state of New Jersey is dealing with its own financial crisis.
Right.
And, you know, this also brings in the question, you know, I know people, you know, say, you know, oh, Donald, you know, you sound real pessimistic, but you know, let's be factual. You know, sidebar really quickly. I know I say a lot of things, you know, when I go to the mic and speak, and I say a lot of things on social media, but that's my role
right.
as a citizen. As
Absolutely.
An elected official and as a conscious person, you know, I take off that hat and put that hat on. The fact remains, the state provides 70, 75% of your budget. So if you think the state is not going to have a vested interest in what your daily operations are, then, you know, you're sadly mistaken. So we're definitely under
right.
the microphone, the magnifying
now,
glass.
Now, is the state under – what is the state what percentage of the budget does the state have to contribute? What is it mandatory that they fund the North School system at a certain level, or is it up to them to decide how much money they're going to give, what percentage of the budget they're going to give, or whether or not – their contribution is going to lead to a budget deficit.
Right. So what happens is New Public School is an Abbott district. You know, that was a court case 1 year ago stating that as a New Jersey citizen, you have the right to a free public education. The
right.
the obligation is passed on to the local districts. However, you know, Newark, amongst other urban cities like Trenton, Patterson, Camden, Jersey City, the budgetary needs were not met by its local tax base. So in order to remain legal and abide by the state constitution, the state has a formula in which funds the Abbott districts. You know, population size, poverty level, and you know, those other factors. What usually happens is, and this is no secret, you know, most people who've been in this game a lot longer than me would tell you, the state never funded the formula correctly. And there's been,
right.
I can't name off the top of my head, but there's been numerous, court decisions after, Abbott, telling the state, look, you know, this is, you know, established by United States Constitution, the state constitution. This is your laws. You have to abide by them. You have to fund this formula. Even more so lately, Governor Christie was mandated to fund the formula. The only problem is, you know, with Superior Court rulings or court rulings, the execution usually isn't really followed through.
Right.
And Christie did a number on us. And when he first got in what was that, 2008-09-ish,
right.
You know, and we're paying the price for that as well.
Okay. So I had looked at, I'm looking at the Newark school system, and I see some progress in some areas, and I
Absolutely.
See still a lot of challenges. In my opinion, the two really bright spots are North Star Academy, Science High, and Robert Treat. I see, you know, let me know if you have a different opinion, that's, which is fine. But I see
mm-hmm.
those are as shining stars in North.
Right.
Now, there's this constant argument about charter schools and public schools. What is your opinion about that? If you have functional charter schools that's coming in and improving the test scores and improving the quality of education of Newark students, the Newark youth, do you have a problem with that charter school expanding?
You know, I like to tread careful and tread lightly with statements like that. And the reason why I say that is because the charter argument definitely was blown out of proportion, in my opinion, and you know, it overlooked the facts and the issues at hand. If we're going to talk about true school choice, why not enhance our public schools? Why not allow our public schools to have the right amount of resources needed to enhance? You know, and there's no discredit, but I think the problem is a lot of shining stars and a lot of individuals who you know, pour their heart out into Newark public schools, into the public school system, get overlooked. Don't get me wrong. Those who know me know I have no problem with speaking out against the issues within the school system, because there are a lot. However, those dedicated and those serving our children you know, get frowned upon and looked down upon as if inept. And I honestly don't think that's fair. You
right.
know, in some cases, you know, folks talk about charter schools, and, you know, my thought that comes into question is, well, some charter schools don't have certified teachers. They're supposed to. Some charter schools don't have qualified principals. They're supposed to. You know, some of the founders of the charter schools never served one day in the classroom. And now that has me questioning, well, if you've never spent a day teaching, or if you've never spent a day learning how to teach, or if you never, you know, went to school to understand pedagogy, now how all of a sudden you have the answer to teach students?
But don't
you
we
know,
actually
those are some
at,
of the
don't slow down on,
result.
All of the public school teachers, right? All of the public school teachers have the certifications that you're talking about. All of the
right.
public school teachers had a pedagogy that you refer to.
Absolutely.
However, at the end of the day, the evidence speaks that that has not resulted in the optimum educational results, especially when it comes down to standardized scores.
Well,
so,
we can also argue a few factors with that. For one,
I want to ask you one thing first.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, those things that you were saying that the charter schools don't have,
Right, right.
Is that the case with North Star Academy?
Quite honestly, I don't know. I've had family members who have children in North Star, and they've had issues with not only the education but their discipline policies. In fact, most charter schools, well, let me be educated here. If I say most or all, I'm not being an educated person because that's impractical, right? I've heard stories of some charter schools suspending children for 10 days, 25 days, not placing them in the right grade. As an educational activist and a former board member, I know that
right.
to be against the state of New Jersey law. That's against 18A. My problem is oversight. Who's overseeing the charter schools to make sure that they comply with state regulations?
Say is the best public school in North, Donald? What's the best public school in North that you would see as a shining example as an argument of a successful public school why we shouldn't no longer expand charter schools? What school, what high school in particular, that is a pure public school that you would hold up an example of something that is working and a good example of why we don't need charter schools, such as North Star?
Right. So, I mean, that would be hard for me to answer just because, you know, we can go on a case-by-case basis. Malcolm X,
I just said name
school.
One.
Right,
name one, the best one you think.
The best one? Like I said, it would be hard for me to say. To prove my case, Malcolm X Shabazz High School has had some great programs that has allowed students to go on to, you know, college and career readiness. They've partnered with universities throughout the state. Shabazz has suffered a population decrease. Due in part, one, with when NORC enrolls, two, due to the name. Unfortunately, people still associate Malcolm X Shabazz to be associated with, behavioral problems, students that have a lot of problems and a lot of at-risk students, be that as it may. They have some pretty good programs. In fact,
right.
I benefited from Malcolm X Shabazz High School. I went to that high school, graduated.
Right.
And, you know, there were a lot of good programs there. East Side has a lot of good programs there, even though they have their issues. West Side, Barringer, and these schools do have their issues. Do not get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. As you said, Science Park High School, the caliber of academic success is definitely there. But that's a high school that you have already have to be at a particular caliber to be able to maintain and succeed.
Right.
And it's not a disrespect.
Don't they still test to get in there?
I am not exactly sure. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
I know that the magnet schools process
right.
was revamped with One North, and that was an issue. It's not a disrespect or discredit to any student. But you have to come in at a particular caliber. And it's a reality. All of us, all of our children, might not be college material, and I don't mean that disrespectfully because I'm not college material at all. There's a particular discipline that you need to have, a particular focus. Some students could be tradesmen. You know, we need a lot of auto mechanics. We need a lot of computer technicians.
Right.
And we need to start feeding those fields. We do need lawyers. Yes, we do. We need teachers. We need doctors. But we also need to feed our trades as well.
But I'm saying the question I ask you is, what is the best pure public school that would augment your argument that we should stop expanding charter schools? Now, you did mention Shabazz, and Shabazz has one of the lowest average SAT scores in the country, not only in the country, but definitely at the bottom in the state of New Jersey. Shabazz also has a poor report card from the state. How can you hold? Now, the things you said was nice, but at the end of the day, when you look at the statistics and the evidence, it just doesn't back up what you're saying. Now, if you compare the average SAT scores of North Star to Shabazz, it's just night and day. As a matter of fact, North Star is rated one of the highest ranked schools in the state of New Jersey. So
right.
How,
so now
how,
let me just
how
say
can
this.
You bring up
I'm not,
as an example
here's
of
what
a
I'm
successful
saying.
Public school as a reason to say that we don't need more charter schools.
Here's what I'm saying. Your question was name one public school, and my answer to you was that I simply can't.
Okay.
I simply can't. And it's not because that there isn't
there really
one.
Is none?
No, and it's not that there isn't one. But I named you the program, the reasons why. I felt as though I couldn't answer that. Maybe somebody else can give you a better answer.
Right, right.
But that's my position. And that's my position from working inside Newark Public Schools and being a part of Newark Public Schools. I'm a champion for public schools. I'm a champion for public education. I'm sorry for that, but then again, I'm not sorry. Because the same advocacy that folks give for charter schools needs to be the same advocacy for public schools. And, in fact, if we've had that years ago, we wouldn't be in this condition that we're in now. If folks rallied for better sustainable programs, better sustainable resources to Newark Public Schools, we wouldn't have this issue. Newark Public Schools, and I'm sorry to jump all over the place, but Newark Public Schools, a lot of loss of dedicated teachers, a lot of professionals who've gone on to districts in Bergen County, districts in Hudson County, making top dollar from their experiences here in Newark Public Schools and their work. Unfortunately, they were pushed out due to politics and improper supervision. Led by former Superintendent Camille Anderson. Hopefully one day we could try to recruit some of that talent.
Right.
But
we know the schools were having problems way before Cammie Anderson came.
Absolutely.
We know that the school had problems 20-some years ago, which is why the state took over. We know the school had problems when I went to Wakeway, which didn't have all the funding problems and all that other stuff that you're bringing up now. But still,
the reason why they didn't have the funding problems.
It wasn't as bad. But let me just say something real quick, and I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you continue to talk.
Right.
Now, just in Essex County alone, you're familiar with the SAT. The top score is 1,600, right?
Okay.
Shabazz has an average SAT score of 846. So we're talking about 700 points or more, 700 and something points before, below the highest test score. Eastside has 886. Central has 819. That's their average SAT score out of 1,600. Barringer has 795. So there's clip. Now let's look at Science Side, for instance. Science High is 1,185, which is excellent for an average, average school. And even the Vaughan University High, they're at 962, which is low. My alma mater, Wakeway, its average SAT is 831 out of a possible high of 1,600. So clearly, we have some issues with our public schools in Newark. And I'm not saying they can't be fixed. They need to be fixed.
Absolutely.
But in the interim, how do we justify not allowing a successful school in Newark expand just because it's a charter school? Isn't at the end of the day the most important thing, the quality of education our kids can get right now before we pursue any any grand ideals about public versus charter?
Well, see, that's the problem. The conversation has been turned to public versus charter. And
right.
what I said seemed to be ignored. We need to fully resource our children. What saddens me is folks pretend that we're talking about two different kids, or we're talking about two different sets of kids.
We're talking about two different schools, not two different set of kids, two different schools.
My point exactly. And I think the other issue is we overlook a lot of factors that go into test scores, right? So, as you know, the population is a definite big factor. Resources.
Right.
Charter schools can raise a lot of money. They can raise a lot of philanthropic dollars. They also get public funds. School districts, particularly North, their biggest resources are
but
public
isn't that,
funds.
Isn't that a benefit for the kids, Donald, that the fact that charter schools can go beyond just public and taxpayer dollars to go to the philanthropic community and raise private funds? At the end of the day, if that leads to better academic results, why are we complaining about that?
Well, you know, we can also argue the fact that a lot of philanthropic people, you know, use our students as investments, which is nothing wrong with that. However, unfortunately, it becomes a money game. But, you know, that's a whole nother conversation for another time. My main argument, my main point, and my main passion is to fully support, fund, and champion for public school. And that's, you know, that's what I do. And that's why I'm
right.
It can be done. I think it should be done. You know, and, you know, like I said, if folks champion for public schools like they do for charter, we wouldn't even have this problem. No disrespect, but I blame
why do you think
my parents'
not,
generation.
Why don't cheer for public schools since that's where the majority of kids have always gone? Isn't
again?
That they're just frustrated? I said, why do you think
say it again?
People are not cheering for public schools when that's where the majority of North kids come? Could it be that they're just frustrated over the results that they're getting?
Well, two things with that. And I don't want to at all sound disrespectful, but
yeah.
I don't think parents are actively engaged, public or charter. And this is just coming from personal experience after dealing with parents who have had issues in both public and charter schools.
Right.
And I think the problem is the makeup and the outlook, as long as it looked good, you know, that satisfies us. But if parents really talked and engaged their children, they would see, you know, that they aren't happy. You know, I have relatives who send their children to charter schools, you know, and I've gone inside the schools and I've seen some of the operations. You know, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. And, you know, I don't have a doctorate in education, but some of the operational things that I've seen, I haven't agreed with, and I can argue that for public schools as well.
So,
you know, I don't want to sound, you know, naive, but you know, I think overall education, public or charter, you know, is definitely substandard in our city, or in all urban areas, in fact. Like I said, I honestly believe if folks 20, 30, 40 years ago would have championed for public schools, you know, we would be in a lot better shape. Shabazz should not have the issues that they are having, even with the good programs. You know, Weekway. Weekway at one point graduated more high school students that went on to get a PhD than any other high school in America.
Right.
That's a fact.
So you're talking about when it was Jewish.
Well, there were some African-American students that went there as well. I have an uncle who graduated in 1960.
Yeah, very small minority back then. But
so now that brings another issue.
Right.
It seems like with white flight, the resources went away with it too.
I think it goes back to another fundamental problem that you mentioned, and, you know, that you kind of apologized for saying which was actually the truth. There was a different level of parental engagement.
Well, absolutely.
There was a different level of household income. There was more stable homes. So beyond the money, which I don't want to argue with you about, because, you know, there's a point to be made. But beyond the money, isn't it the other cultural dysfunctions and the demographics and a lot of other things that money can't fix just by throwing out the school? That if we had certain things in place, if we had more solid homes, if we had a higher level of parental involvement, if we had more things in terms of our community and our family structure and, you know, that going on, that we could get better educational results even if the funding decreased or at least stayed at the current level.
I'm not going to argue with that. It's not a secret that Newark is suffering from a lot of social woes. And Newark suffered for 60 years with those same woes. Economically, family-wise, disenfranchisement. I would have to be a complete
have
to be a fool to say that the point that you made isn't a valid point. There is no more family, unfortunately, in urban Newark. There are very few mom, dad, children households. A lot of households are grandparents, grandmother, particularly aunt, uncle, older siblings. Who may only be 18 with a 7-year-old in second grade or third grade, whichever grade. That's a fact. That's a reality. We've been hurting for a while in the black community, and this is black America. Whether it be
right,
North
absolutely.
New Jersey, Baltimore,
Chicago,
Detroit. it's all over. How do we fix it? I don't have one solid answer. It's not going to come from a mayor. It's not going to come from a governor. Absolutely not. And throwing money at it definitely won't solve it. I think it's going to come from folks like you, and despite our political disagreements, if we want to truly save black America, African American, urban America, we're going to have to check our egos at the door and roll up our sleeves. I try my best when I go outside and I see a fellow, someone who looks like me or someone who lives in my community do wrong or need advice or need help. And I try my best to help. That's just the way I was raised. My family's been big on, public service and helping out and helping people. And, I carry
thank you so much, my dear brother, for joining me.
Absolutely.
To bring Yembele on. Yembele.
Absolutely.
I'll get that right. And I know you wanted to ask a question. So if you holding on, just staying on and hanging in with the show when I bring her on, let her talk about 5 minutes and everything, get some things out the way, and then I'll bring you back on and ask your question, okay?
Perfect. Beautiful. Thank you.
Put you on hold right now, and I'm going to bring Emily on, okay? How's it going, Emily? I'm glad to have you join us.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
Good,
thank you.
So I had Donald Jackson, who was a former board member, on the show. So he helped me fill in the first half. Now we had a good good discussion about charter versus public schools. And he wanted to ask you a question, but before I even get in to ask a question, let's start with you. And if you can sort of tell the audience about your background educationally and your work experience and how that qualifies you for the Newark Board of Education.
Okay. First off, I went to a Catholic school for the first part of my life, elementary. Unfortunately, the public schools in my area, they didn't offer the bilingual education at the time that I needed. And it was I think it was like I was 3 or 4 years old, and they wanted to send me on a bus an hour away from my house. To get the ESL classes that I needed. My father, though, he's a teacher. He's actually has a master's in bilingual education. And he told them absolutely not. And they put me into a private school. And he was like, she's going to learn English like a month or two in. Like, I know this. Like, she is, you know, 3, 4, 5 year olds, they absorb everything like a sponge. And because of that, because he knew what was going on, I went to a private school. He tutored me as well. And I was, you know, I didn't want to speak English to my grandparents like 2 months in, you know. I didn't want to speak Spanish, I'm sorry, to my grandparents, you know. And, you know, I grew up bilingual thanks to, you know, the efforts of my parents. You know, I hated it. I was like, oh, no, I want to speak English, you know. That's what everybody speaks at school. But my parents were very resistant.
Catholic school?
This was in Northbury, and I'm originally from Hudson County.
Okay, got you.
And then afterwards, I moved to Jersey City with my mother, and I went to Hudson County County Prep. It's called. It's a vocational high school in Hudson County. It's a public high school. It was on Montgomery Street in Jersey City, next to the Montgomery Project there. And I went to high school there. And, you know, at the time it was also under state control. I think that it was a very unique experience to be there. There was kids, you know, it's a very diverse high school. There was kids from all walks of life and, from all over Hudson County, and I did a vocational program there, dance. I did dance for about 3.5 years, music and art for a semester, for a marking period there. And then I graduated from there, and I got a scholarship when I graduated at 17 from that high school, and I got a scholarship, a partial scholarship, to go to Spain for 2 years. To study at Suffolk University in Madrid, Spain.
Wow. Nice.
My parents were really apprehensive. They were like, how are we going to send this 17-year-old girl? And I was like, out, you know, she's not even 18 yet, out to Spain by herself, you know. And, you know, thank God, you know, the thing with immigrant parents, you know, especially immigrant Latino parents, is that they know someone in every corner of the world, I feel like.
Right.
And it feels like that sometimes, you know, we have so much family and, you know, everywhere that, they were like, oh, we have cousins out there. It's going to be fine. You know, we have people that we know. So I went out there for 2 years and it was a very beautiful experience. It's actually not something that my guidance counselors in high school expected of me. I was a decent student. I was actually a pretty good student. But I think they all expected me to stay in New Jersey, stay in the neighborhood, go to Rutgers, you know, do that whole bit. I kind of surprised them,
right.
with, you know, going abroad, and it's something, it was surprising to me because I never saw myself going somewhere else, you know, for high school.
Right.
And it really broadened me as a student. It really brought in a lot of, opportunities for me. So I went out there for 2 years. I studied international affairs, got my certificate there. But I wanted to come back to either New Jersey or New York, wherever, I could afford to attend, because it's a private university. So it was very, very expensive.
Right.
So I came back. I applied to schools in New Jersey. I applied to schools in New York. Unfortunately, in New Jersey at the time, Christie was governor. And I remember my high school year, my senior high school year, they had cut out so much aid to students. Mm-hmm. My best friend was valedictorian. And I remember, you know, I think they used to have, if you were valedictorian, you used to have a full ride to a lot of the state universities.
Right.
You know, they can correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the case. And I remember her being very disappointed that her parents had to take out loans for her to go to Rutgers. I didn't get enough financial aid, even though my mom's a single mother. And, I ended up in New York State in the SUNY school, where they gave me everything and they accepted all of my credits. And, you know, they were just, you know, they were very welcoming. I was able to finish my bachelor's in political science at SUNY Plattsburgh in upstate New York. And then after being away from home so long, I came back to New Jersey. I lived in, you know, Jersey City for a while. I was an organizer, but I still traveled a lot. I got a job as a labor organizer with the Fight for 15 campaign, the fast food campaign in New York City that was starting at the time that I came back from college. I participated in taking workers out on strike. It was a very new campaign. Nobody had ever really organized fast food workers. It was very exciting. It was a lot of young people organizing. Especially black and brown young people organizing themselves into unions, into demanding higher wages for themselves. A lot of us traveled all over the country as well to support some other campaigns. After coming back from all of that, I got into community organizing, and I worked as an education organizer in New York. New York City for a little while as well. I participated in the Universal Pre-K campaign that de Blasio had out. That was one of his campaign platforms when he first got elected, that there was going to be quality free pre-K for every child in New York City.
I
participated as an organizer, organizing town hall meetings in every borough. I did two, Brooklyn and Manhattan. And then I also did a lot of campaigning around community school initiatives with the DOE, the Department of Education there. That's where, again, a lot of the really progressive ideas on education this has been going on for a really long time, but, they were really blossoming under de Blasio at that time. I was commuting 4 hours a day from New Jersey to go to work in New York, and it was killing me, and I wanted to be back home. I have family here in Newark, and, I have an uncle here who I stay with from time to time, who I used to stay with from time to time, and, through the labor connection, I was hired with Councilman Eddie Osborne. And he wanted me on his team, just knowing all the work that I had been doing, knowing my community work, how passionate I was about, labor, but also education. I came here to the city of Newark almost 4 years ago. It's become my home. It's, I feel like born and raised here. And that's the beauty of the city, how welcoming it is.
Yeah, it has that spirit. Newark has that spirit. It does.
And, I'm a product of an urban environment too. So for me, Newark it's home,
Yes.
I started working really hard. I've always been someone, who's worked behind the scenes. I believe in grassroots organizing. I believe in knocking on doors. Getting the word out there, getting people out to vote. That's one of my biggest things. that's a little background on myself and, I guess my qualifications. It's one of the many, my work has been influenced me to, to run for school board. So.
Beautiful. I think that's great. I just want to say to the audience that Yambly was scheduled to go to 4 hours, and she had a fundraiser that went a little bit longer than she thought initially. So what I did was I asked Donald Jackson. We just happened to be on the thread. I said, why don't he just come off the first half an hour? I don't want anybody to think that and give her the same opportunities I did Asia Norton and every other guest that I brought on for the whole hour. She was out raising money for her candidacy, and I totally understand that, and I did the best I can to accommodate her.
Thank you so much.
That's no problem. No problem. I'm a big fan of yours. So I'm going to bring on Donald Jackson. He had a question. I don't know what the question is. And he'll ask his question, and then we'll continue for the rest of the show talking about your candidacy. Hold on 1 second. How's it going, Don? What's your question?
Pretty good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you very well.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gomez. How are you?
Good afternoon, Donald. How are you doing?
Pretty well. So my question is going to basically be this. What do you plan to do as a board member? And as simple as it sounds, I like to ask this question because one of two things. In the spirit of the moment, I know we get caught up and we talk, you know, and we say things, but some of the things that we say might not be feasible and or within our control. And, you know, nothing is a good teacher like experience. So that will be my only question.
Can you repeat it? Just I know it's very simple.
I'm sorry. What do you plan to do as a board member?
Yes, thank you so much, Donald. As a board member, you know, number one, I think is when I go in there, listen, right? I have to listen. I'm not a person to go out there and promise the world to people. Like you said, you know, experience is the best teacher. And I'm going to listen. I am going to review a lot. I know there are a lot of policies, you know, I've been knocking on a lot of doors. I've been talking to people and there is a list of policies that need to be looked over urgently. And I know that our school board members are already doing that. But it is a job that, you know, I have to do. And it's a job that, you know, we have to, you know, going in now that we have local control and that we have, you know, we are a school board, not an advisory board anymore. I think that is my first job, to listen, to review. And I think going just straight off the bat, my first decision as a school board, one of my first decisions that I'm sure of is that we have to decide on a superintendent. And that is the biggest choice. That is the biggest decision that the board has to make right now. And, you know, that has to be one of our main focus right now, because it has to be someone that the community can trust. It has to be someone that we can work with. And, you know, that's what I plan to do as a school board member right now. And, you know, for my next for the 3 years as a school board member, I plan to be as open as possible to people. And I plan to be as collaborative as possible with my school board colleagues. I think that, you know, we have to, you know, I like to always bring a culture of collaboration. I was, you know, raised by a labor organizer and a teacher. You know, it does not take one person. It's always a team that moves anything forward. So that's what I plan to do.
Fantastic. That organizing piece and the fact that you said you believe in, you know, collaboration and working with, going in there and learning and not just, you know, bulldogging your way into the board as a new member, offending people and everything, but being humble, learning, and then find your voice and then start working to help, you know, the students and the people of North. I think that's the most prudent, practical, and most successful approach you can have. As a new board member, and I think Donald should be happy with that, as am I. Okay, so I got a question myself, and then it'll probably take us to probably the end of the show. But as you know, Newark is making a big push to get Amazon to relocate their second corporate headquarters. And I was just happened to be at work, you know, on my lunch, and I was, perusing the internet, and right now, the third article on Yahoo, when I opened the page, was that Amazon is going to ask for the average SAT scores and ACT scores of all of the 20 cities that's in the final runoff in order to get them to relocate their headquarters there. So that really was fascinating to me, because I always felt, and I've always preached that for the past 4 years, with very little fanfare or comments from folks, because they, you know, they, I don't know what it is, if they just don't understand the connection or what. Well, how do you see the quality of education and those average SAT scores that Amazon is going to be asking about as part of their decision-making variables that they need to know? How does the quality of education in a particular city, such as Newark, a big urban center like Newark, affect economic growth and job opportunities?
So I think one of the main things that Amazon and other companies are looking at in Newark, and, you know, other companies before Amazon have looked at this as well, I believe, is that they're looking for improvement, right? I don't think they're looking for, you know, just straight off the bat, stellar, you know, everything. I think they're looking for gradual improvement. You know, I was actually, you know, looking, you know, I know Science Park has the highest SAT score, from what I checked from last year, at like, I think it was like 1160, the highest SAT score. Yeah, somewhere around that range. And, you know, you know, a lot of our schools are already doing really well, and that's really good. And I'm happy for that. But I know that we have a long way to go. And I think that as long as we keep on trying, and that companies see that we're trying, that we're getting better gradually, I think, you know, even with our getting our schools back, I think that's one of the things that they saw. You know, they saw that we were collaborating, you know. They saw that, you know, our school board, you know, for however, you know, our advisory board, for whatever it's been in the past, you know, they see that we're trying, we're slowly getting there. You know what I mean? And it's not going to be overnight, and we don't want it to be fast either. Because we have a lot of people to, you know, we're accountable to a lot of people. And we want to take careful steps for us to, like, you know, to get there, you know, to get better, to have higher SAT scores, to be the top. I think I read that an article where it was like the top 25 SAT scores in Essex County, and, you know, Science Park was number 5. You know, we could be number 1. Our schools, our high schools could be number 1, you know, and we need to get there.
Right.
But the only way we can show Amazon and other, you know, companies, corporations that we're serious is that we keep the gradual momentum of our scores getting higher. And not only in Science Park and these, you know, magnet schools, but, you know, in all of our high schools, because we do have high schools that are not doing, you know, that great, and that need to come higher. And, you know, that will really, once we start to see that improvement, and even in our, you know, elementary schools with the park testing, and we have, you know, very small, but we have, but it, you know, it's not at the point where it should be, you know, for our students.
Absolutely. So tell me something.
So,
why do you think Amazon is asking for those statistics from each, not just Newark, every single one of the cities that's in the final runoff to get their corporate headquarters? Why do you think Amazon is asking for those scores?
I mean, I think that, you know, they want to see a young workforce that, you know, they want to know that they can invest in the city long term. That in 10 years from now, they're going to have a young workforce that is educated and then can you know, can compete. You know, can compete with other companies, can, you know, can be, you know, excellent workers, you know, that are knowledgeable, you know, that are educated and that can, you know, that can compete, basically. They want a workforce that can compete, that can be dynamic. And, you know, I think that they would definitely have it here. They do have it here in Newark. We just, you know, as, you know, going back to, you know, being a school board member, as a school board, we need to, you know, these next 3 years are going to be critical to lay down that foundation. of, you know, of
absolutely.
Making sure that our schools keep going in that gradual ascent. And, you know, not all of us agree on, you know, there are a lot of different opinions on what that looks like. But I think as long as we're all working together to get there, you know, if we have to argue about it, if we have to go back and forth, you know, obviously very respectfully, that's good. That's good that we're doing that, you know. You know, if students need to go out there and protest and say their piece and make their demands, then that's what we need to be listening to as well, you know. And I'm totally for that. And, you know, that needs to keep happening in our city. You know, our students, you know, they have done so much work to get us where we are right now. You know, and we have to give them the credit and we have to listen to their demands. So, you know, as long as we focus on that, all these companies are going to come in, you know, Amazon is going to come in. All these companies will see the value in that. And, you know, that's what I believe.
Okay. Here's the other thing that I read in the article too. Amazon also is going to look at the trendiest spots in New York, because they want to know that they can attract worldwide workforce.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Osman, I can't hear you.
Oh, I can hear you. I wonder what happened. Can you hear me? You still can't hear me, Young Belly? Yeah. Well, at any rate, one of the other things that Amazon is going to be looking for, they want to know the trendiest spots in Newark. And they want, like, a tour of those trendy spots in order for them to be able to recruit a workforce, not just in Newark, not just in New York, but they want to be able to show attractive things to recruit people from all over the country. So I don't know what happened to Yambeli's connection there, but that was going to be my question to her. And I understand why Amazon is asking for those things, because if a person is going to relocate from California or wherever the case is, Seattle, Oregon, one of the things that's going to attract them is, especially if they're highly educated or highly skilled, is like, what's going to be out there, you know, for them? How's that going to work out? So one of the things that definitely works is when they tell you, hey, you can go to this restaurant, you can go to that restaurant, and that's it. So really quickly, Yambeli, we got 90 seconds. Sorry. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
We've had so many technical difficulties, but thank you.
Yes, just name a couple of the nice spots in Newark that you would take Amazon to show that if people locate from other parts of the country, they'll have some nice places to go.
You mean the trendy spots in Newark?
Yeah, because that's actually one of their criteria. They want to look at that too.
You know, we have so many spots that are just are full of culture, are full of history here in the city. And, you know, we have tours in the city. I would definitely take them on a tour.
Okay.
We have, you know, Have You Met Newark? You know, we have the Ironbound. We have Halsey Street. We have the downtown area, you know, around Broad Street. I think all those areas are very trendy. It might be what they're looking for, but I think it's also important to show them, you know, the whole city, you know, show them what's really going on and show them how, you know, their development coming in can bring trendier areas, you know, into the city.
We're out of time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say goodbye. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much, Osman, for having me on. And I'm sorry about all the technical difficulties, but
don't worry about it.
I really enjoyed our time, and you know, I hope to I hope that the listeners take, you know, me, Asia, and Dawn into consideration on April 17th. You know, and that we, you know, whatever happens, we keep moving our schools forward.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.